Fedheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings, episode 82, Spotlight on CAO Consigliere. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, broadcast around the world on CigarFederation.com, on YouTube, and of course, our friends and people that keep us safe in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Sharing Our Pairings is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, manufactures the world's finest cigars. Try the new 93-rated Heritage today. I just recently went on a review tear and did a bunch of samplers and actually found a bunch I liked. I'm, of course, here, as always, with my co-host, Robbie Rass. Rob, what's going on in sunny California today, brother?
It's toasty. It's smoky, man. There's a lot of smoke in the air.
Oh, do you guys pick up fires again?
Yeah, we get wildfire issues, but we get that every year, and it settles in. I'm kind of in a bit of a valley, so it does definitely settle in. I'm actually drafting a fantasy football team right now on behalf of Cigar Federation for the Cigar Media Association. We have kind of a small league going here, and I am on deck. I will be picking here in a second, and I'm not really sure who I'm going to take here.
Now, what position do you think you're going to go in your first pick? Because it's always, you know, it's like chess. Yeah. It's the opening move.
Well, it's PPR, which means you get a point per reception. So obviously wide receivers are more valuable. I think I might go running back with this first pick because I'm up. Julio Jones just went. That's who I wanted. So Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, and Devontae Freeman are all available.
Devontae Freeman did well for me last year.
Yeah, and David Johnson I think is probably the one that I would take out of that group. And I feel like I pick again in four picks so I could – get another wide receiver here that's still relatively good on the way back. Or you could say that I could get a running back that's relatively good on the way back.
I mean, no one in the league is probably tuned in live to the show because they're focused on drafting, but my typical strategy is wide receiver, then running back. Then
Devontae Freeman or A.J. Green?
Oh, boy, that's tough. I feel like...
I'm going to go A.J. Green because I feel like he's the best wide receiver left, and then I'll snap up.
And he is being thrown to by your boy.
Yeah, that was
Red Rifle.
Yeah, he was my guy last year.
He lit it up last year, man. He was way. I mean, we're getting way off topic here from the show, but he lit it up last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Dalton. That was it's Andy Dalton, right?
That's right.
And that was my team name. Was the name is Dalton, which we all know is from classic film Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
When he shows up and he beats the crap out of everybody, and then the blind guitar player guy says the name is Dalton. Anyway, moving on. So I pick here again in a minute, and I'm probably going to go with, if this first guy isn't here, which who knows if he is, he's going to take Ezekiel Elliott and DeAndre Hopkins, and I have to decide between David Johnson and Devontae Freeman.
I'd go Devontae. But that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think the Cardinals are going to be pretty damn good. Yep, and I'm up. So we'll do this, and then we'll start talking about what's going on here.
Tis the season off tomorrow night with the – gosh, I don't even know who kicks off next tomorrow night. Oh, of course, what am I saying? It's the Carolina Panthers versus the Denver Broncos in Mile High, and that'll be one for the ages as the Carolina Panthers look to – maybe make up for the disastrous and boring Super Bowl that was.
I'm going to take David Johnson. I think that's the pick here.
Got to go with your gut, brother.
Yep, doing it. All right, so we can stop talking about that for a while.
I could talk football all day. You know that. But we'll get into more of that in the After Dark segment. We are smoking the CAO Consigliere, and I'm kind of excited to smoke this. This, of course, is a follow-up or replacement to a cigar that was based on a well-known and very popular television show. I'm sure you can put two and two.
I think we can actually say it. I mean,
can we?
Yeah, we don't make the cigar. I mean, this used to be the CAO Sopranos, and if you remember that from back in the day, and from what I understand, the blend is very close to the same. I know we did an interview with
the man himself.
Yeah, his name's escaping me. It's Ricky.
Ricky Rodriguez?
Yeah, and he was telling us more about the blend. I guess there were a couple of different tweaks that they did, and you can check that out on our YouTube channel. But, yeah, I mean, we've got nothing to lose by saying this is the same blend as the Sopranos back in the day.
They're not going to pull their ad spot?
I don't think so. I don't think they have one.
Just a note out to all the manufacturers that I know are tuning into the show. We do have some open ad spots on my show. So, you know, if you're looking to advertise, I think I have a pretty good ad voice. So, you know, send us some reads. We'll be happy to take
as long as you give us copy.
Give us some copy. So it comes in three sizes, which are kind of appropriate for the theme. The Associate, which is what we're smoking, as Logan would say, the 5x52. It's a good size, pretty classic size. The Soldier, which is the 6x54, that's a bit of a beast. And the Boss, the 7x56. That's a big cigar.
That is a big stick. And we're smoking just the Robusto size. And I just cheated. I took a sip of my cocktail. It's actually really good. So we mixed it up a little bit this week. We're doing a cocktail and a beer and a spirit. Oh, crap, I'm picking again? Wait.
What kind of league is this?
It's an 8-team league. It's tiny.
I'm actually used to about 10 minutes between picks because I end up going in drafts with people who have no idea what they're doing and they take the max time. It's like, this isn't the NFL Network. Just pick your player.
Yeah, seriously. Let's see. We've got how do you feel about LeSean McCoy?
I think he's solid.
You think he's going to have a comeback season there?
Anything can happen in this year's NFL.
Yeah, I just really like him.
Who else is up?
But he's Alshon Jeffrey, LeSean McCoy, Mike Evans, Tampa Bay, Sammy Watkins, Jonathan Stewart. I'm thinking about taking my second running back here, which is – I think I'm going to take McCoy. Because I feel like, again, if I end up with – Alshon Jeffrey or Evans or Sammy Watkins or even Brayden Cooks, I'm okay with those guys. Wow, Andrew Luck just went. Quarterbacks are going. Why are quarterbacks going?
That's a sign of someone who has not played in a PPR league before. When you're picking a quarterback in your second pick, you are making a big mistake. Oftentimes, you'll find that a solid running back in a PPR league will consistently outscore a quarterback.
What's the story with Julian Edelman? Is he hurt?
You know, so here's the thing. Julian Edelman is a fantastic player when he's healthy.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy, he is guaranteed 15 points a game. Guaranteed. That's like his bottom level. If his top shelf can be as high as 30 points.
Taking Alshon Jeffrey, by the way.
Yeah. The problem with Edelman is if Edelman goes down, which he does do, he's down for 3 or 4 games, and now you're, you know, shopping for another receiver.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about it. It's 8-team league. You're not taking any chances.
Yeah, and that being said, of course, Brady is out for the first 4 games on suspension.
He gone.
And I'm not going to talk about that because I'm a Jets fan and kind of biased, but I think it's stupid. That's my take on it. It's stupid. There's a lot of players that do a lot of jackhole stuff that should be suspended for a lot more than 4 games. Anyways, moving right along. The CAO, I think the old blender, the notes that I've got, it's got a Brazilian Matafina wrapper, and I love that raisiny sweetness out of Brazilian wrapper. I'm kind of really getting that. Now, it's got a Honduran binder, which is, I don't see a lot of Honduran binders. I can't even remember the last time I smoked a cigar with a Honduran binder. Interestingly, it's got Colombian tobacco, Dominican tobacco, and Nicaraguan, and it's got a little bit of bite to it, a little bit of spice.
Yeah, I was actually, going to comment on the sweetness when we first started. And, I mean, I'm about, what's that, about an inch, just about an inch in. And it burns pretty nice. There is definitely a lot of sweetness. I'm not getting that spice that you're talking about. But it's definitely, it's there from what I remember. This is a little bit different from what I remember, though. But, again, I haven't smoked the Sopranos in a while. I think I actually have a couple. Still floating around, and I think you can still find them actually.
Really?
On some of the discount sites, maybe, because there was a lot of those floating around back in the day. That wasn't that long ago.
It seems like an eternity in this day and age, but I know they're quite popular. At least I remember people who bought them went pretty nutty over them.
Yeah, it was, and they came out with those special shapes, like one was a bat. And
yeah.
All those funky little things.
I like pushing the envelope. You know, it's cool.
You got to do it. You got to push the envelope a little bit.
So as you said, we're changing it up. This is kind of our first full length pairing show since back from the IPCPR. We've both been very, very busy. You've got about a million side things going on, and I'm trying to dominate Western Canada by opening cigar stores until The federal government cries uncle. Actually, it's a hilarious side story. Since it's my show and we can get off topic, one of our stores had the police called on them today.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were displaying tobacco in the store, which is, of course, our right because we're a tobacconist and it's an 18-plus store and we can do that. But a concerned citizen called the police and had someone come into the store just to keep us honest. Thank you, concerned citizen. Yes, we're doing what we're doing is legal. Calm yourself down.
Why do I find that hilarious that they called the police because you're displaying tobacco?
I don't know if that's an only in Canada thing, but I feel like that's someone with way too much time on their hands.
It sounds like it. Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it.
let us smoke in peace. Sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
So cocktails. We're going cocktails for the first pairing. I'm kind of excited. We haven't done cocktails in a while. I like cocktails. The only issue with me, of course, is that I forgot an ingredient in my cocktail. I was like,
you do that every time.
I do that every time.
It's your deal.
It's too late. It's made, and I'm just going to drink it and enjoy it. But you've got a great cocktail set up there. I do not. And, of course, now that I'm kind of flying solo for a few months, it's tough for me to kind of mix a cocktail on the fly. You know, I don't have that bar out on the patio. Maybe I should. But I'm going with the Dark and Stormy, which does not look as cool. You know, when you see a Dark and Stormy, it's kind of got the rum suspended in the ginger beer. But I am going with a high-end ginger beer, which I've used before. I've featured this on the show before. This is the Fever Tree. It's a premium ginger beer. It's really good. It's like if you like a full-flavored ginger beer, not just like something with artificial flavors, it's quite good. I've mixed it correctly, except for the fact that I forgot my bitters. How could I forget my bitters?
Oh, my goodness.
So embarrassing.
When I make my Dark and Stormy, that's one of my favorite cocktails. I stick with the real basic rum. The Black Seal, I think it's Black Seal overproof rum, something like that. And there's a few different ginger beers that I like. But there's a lot of different ginger beers out there. You wouldn't really think about it, but sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry to cut you off there. I was going to say, yeah, you wouldn't think ginger beer is something really a lot of people drink. But I'm kind of projecting there because obviously either a lot of people drink cocktails or a lot of people drink ginger beer. I don't, but there's a lot of ginger beer.
Yeah, and I've noticed probably over the last few years, actually, when we start doing shows like this, there's a lot of different craft soft drinks and things like that. Even though, and ginger beer is called beer, but there's no alcohol in it. But it does have a lot of flavor. I like my ginger beer to be a bit more on the spicy side.
Mm-hmm.
And if memory serves, that Fever Tree is a bit on the spicy. Their tonic is really good, too.
I could see that.
Yeah. So go ahead.
So yeah, I forgot my bitters. This is a great cocktail pairing. And I didn't, I don't know cocktails like cocktails. So I kind of went down my list. I'm like, what can I do that kind of fits that sort of conciliary profile? Like, what would a guy be, and a mob boss be drinking? And I thought, Dark and Stormy is kind of a tough guy cocktail. You know, it's got that rum, it's got that spicy ginger beer. To me, that kind of said mob boss. And it's nice. The ginger beer is doing a great job of cutting the sweetness from the cigar and that sort of, spiciness from the ginger beer, like you called it, really does a great job of highlighting some of the flavors in the cigar. I've mixed it properly, so I've got a lot of rum in there. And I went a little, I don't know if you'd call it top shelf, but I went with the Havana Club Añejo 7, which is pretty decent rum, probably a little higher than what I should be doing for. But they call for a dark rum, and I'm like, you know what? I'm busting out the Havana Club, so yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. It's it's on the higher end because we can't get it. That's the one that I sprung for a bottle when I was in Mexico and realized I didn't need to because it was in the bar that I had access to for free the whole time I was there. So there's that. But no, definitely enjoyed it. For me, I like to keep it simple, but again, I make mine a little bit different. I add simple syrup along with the lime, and it's one of my favorite cocktails. I really enjoy it. I went with something a little bit different, and well, holy crap, it's my turn to pick again. That's what happens when you get into a tiny league.
Yep, goes quick.
So let's see. Let me just make a quick pick here. I'm gonna go ahead and pick you. I'm not going to pick you.
Tell our lovely podcast audience who you're
I'm looking at running backs here. Jeremy Langford in Chicago. I had him last year. He was nice after Matt Forte got hurt. And then Matt Jones, Melvin Gordon, who I don't know anything about. These are second-tier guys. And there's Danny Woodhead. He catches a ton of passes.
Danny Woodhead catches a ton of passes.
So he might be a sneaky little play. These are like bench plays that I'm looking at here. I'm going to take Langford, though.
That's probably a good call.
Yeah, he's going to be their starter. They swing the ball out a lot. I'm going to pick here again in a second because it's back-to-back picks and then it's me. I'm going to take my quarterback because I don't have one yet. And I'm going to take your boy Ben Roethlisberger.
My boy.
Big Ben.
I don't think that's my boy, my friend.
It's not your boy? You're not a fan?
No, you don't not like a Big fan. Ben? Not, he's done some questionable things in the past. And
that's
yes, Steelers fans, I'm
that's what I've heard.
I'm making alleged claims. That's right. You heard me.
Allegedly. Okay, so now I can talk about my cocktail. So
what do you got going on? Because I know you do a lot of really fancy cocktails.
Yeah, this is my wife, Dana, found this cocktail for me on liquor.com, and they have some really nice stuff on there. Like a ton of cocktails, seriously. This is a cocktail called the Billionaire. I felt like it was kind of fitting with the whole consigliere thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bourbon-based cocktail. Excuse me. And I tweaked it a little bit. It's basically 2 ounces of bourbon. They asked for Baker's, but I went with Elijah Craig. 1 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of simple syrup, and I've talked about simple syrup before. It's just equal parts sugar and water. You bring it to a boil, let it simmer for 5 minutes, and that's it, and you've made simple syrup. Obviously, let it cool before you drink it. And grenadine, which grenadine is basically just pomegranate-flavored simple syrup, so you make it the same way, just add pomegranate. And they also call for absinthe bitters, which they ask for 1/4 ounce of it, and they tell you how to make it. And it's, I didn't want to go through the whole thing of making absinthe bitters, so I just went with 4 dashes of Peychaud bitters, which are, it's an aromatic bitter, and what they're
Peychaud bitters look like cross between spice sauce and blood.
Yeah, and like some, yeah, it's definitely a dark red. And like an old school, like it could be like a snake oil tonic bottle, you know. But if you pop it open, it has that same kind of smell that you get out of absinthe, that licorice anise smell to it. So I just went with 4 dashes of that as opposed to making the special bitters. And it's definitely a good looking cocktail. It's got kind of a deep tequila sunrise blood orange thing happening here.
By the way, Bob Dog and our audience there would just like to mention, Rob, there's no G in conciliare. It's Italian. You need to challenge your Italian. It's conciliare.
yeah, sure. I'll stick with consigliere and go from there. But
very good. Carry on.
but thanks, Bob. This is a cocktail I decided to go with. It's definitely on the fruitier side. There's a lot of lemon in there. 1 ounce of lemon is a lot. That is a lot. It's a little bit sweet, and it's a little bit too lemony, really, for my taste. I would tweak this a little bit. It's a little bit sweet, and the grenadine. Sorry. And if you're using grenadine, just make your own. It's so much better than the crap you buy at the store. But the grenadine gives it a nice kind of rounded sweetness to it, a little bit of fruitiness to it, and the pairing goes really, really well. Actually, it's more of a palate cleanser, really, between each puff on the cigar. I feel like I could have this cocktail with about 7 or 8 different cigars and be perfectly happy with all of them. It's not going to overpower anything. And if you really feel like the lemon's lingering too much, take a sip of water. It's a nice cocktail. It's very approachable. I think just about anybody would enjoy this. Anybody who drinks cocktails, that is. And I dig it. The pairing's working out pretty well.
See, I'm on point because in the past I would have taken a sip there, but then the now that we've done 82 episodes, I recognize that you were about to pause and I didn't take a sip. So on point.
I still haven't figured that part out.
Do this for 2.5 years and eventually I'll get it. Just a reminder to your audience, you're tuned to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 82, Spotlight on CAO Consigliere. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, joined by my co-host, Robbie Rass. This first segment is brought to you by the Rocky Mountain Smokeout, Canada's biggest cigar show. And this year we've got some exciting guests attending the show. The first guest was actually just announced today. It'll be Hamlet Paredes from Rocky Patel. Of course, he put out the Tabacaro, which I really enjoyed. and he's got a wealth of tobacco knowledge, and he's been up to Canada many, many times. He's never been out to Calgary before, so that's going to be a good time. If you're interested in picking up tickets, you can visit smokeout.ca, pick up your tickets because they're going to go fast. We've just announced the first of six guests, and when we get to two or three, it's going to be a free-for-all.
And you guys got some pretty good guests. I actually have some inside knowledge on that.
I might have been dishing. The vault might have opened with some bourbon and whiskey in Vegas.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Trade secret. Canadian secret.
I promise. I won't tell anybody.
Fair enough. So I'm really digging this Dark and Stormy. I think I could have added some bitters, but interestingly enough, I think with this particular ginger beer, I think the bitters might have been too much. Because there is some really solid inherent lingering spice in this particular ginger beer. I think adding bitters would have been too much. I actually almost think I could have kicked the rum up maybe another half ounce and still been fine, because that ginger beer has so much body to it. But it's going well. I mean, this is a great way to start the night for pairing. You know, the only thing I could have done better was put a lime garnish on the edge of the glass. But other than that, I'm pretty happy. How's that pairing going for you?
It's great. I there's ways I would tweak this. I would probably put maybe a half an ounce of lemon in there, and kind of play from there. With cocktails like with this, I wasn't sure about the bitters that they were asking me to put in. So I just used the Peychaud's, like I said, but I started with two dashes. And then I tried three, and then I tried four. And I didn't want to pump up that licorice anise flavor in there so much. It's really more of a background spice, and that was the way that I wanted to keep it. So that's just one tip. If you're tweaking cocktails and you're messing around with things, if it calls for an ounce of lemon, that's a lot of fruit.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of fruit. So like, I would start with maybe a half and then go from there. I think it would have a little bit less of a bite to it. But then it's going to be a bit more sweet, so maybe, you know, add a little bit more bourbon or whatever. I think this, I could actually take the Peychaud's out of here and just use a regular aromatic bitters, or maybe mix the two, and that could be kind of fun. But it's a nice cocktail. It's a little bit fruit forward for me, but it's got a dry finish, and it pairs really nicely with the cigar. You're not going to be upset about pairing this with just about anything. Maybe not a Connecticut, because you might get a little bit too much and blow out some Connecticut's that have a little bit less flavor, but it's just a nice little palate cleanser in between puffs.
I'm going to switch over to an audience question here. We've got a question from Harley Holmes. Harley, thanks for your question. We always appreciate audience questions. You can ask those at CigarFederation.com on the Sharing or Pairing show page. He wants to know, is the Conciliary the same as the Soprano? Well, we kind of already addressed that, but the answer to that is yes and no. I mean, it's essentially the same, with a little bit of tweaks. If you go to the Cigar Federation channel on YouTube, check out Rob's interview with Ricky Rodriguez. It's actually a really good interview. In fact, all of our interviews at the IPCPR were great, but Ricky kind of sheds a little bit of light.
Yeah, it's definitely, there are some things that are different. With the original run, they did two different wrappers, I believe, if memory serves, that Ricky was telling us about. But yeah, go back and revisit that interview, and that'll definitely answer that question for you.
Now I'm gonna go on to a second question, just because really I just want to extend my time with this cocktail. So he wants to know what, and this is kind of a big question, what's your favorite sharing or pairing so far? I'm gonna give you a chance to think about that, because I don't know. I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of our shows. I think anytime we've got a guest on the show, it's a lot of fun. You know, we've had Fred from Nomad Cigars on. Fred, pretty much we could write no script for the show, and we could do 2 hours, and it would be easy. Terrence Riley's coming up again from Casada Cigars, and Terrence is always great. Terrence is another one of those guys who, it doesn't even feel like we're doing a show. It just feels like we're hanging out smoking cigars.
Yeah, absolutely. He likes his beer, too.
Yeah, and I like, you know, it's nice because a lot of these guys in the industry are really knowledgeable. Like, I want to get Clint Aaron from 262. Clint, if you're watching, I don't think you are, but if you're watching, we need to get Clint on. Clint has been busting out these crazy Japanese whiskeys all over Facebook, and that leads me to believe we need to have him on the show for some Japanese whiskey pairings. But, you know, I think we had a lot of fun with the IPA show and the Drew Estate. There's no S on that, by the way, Drew Estate. Kentucky Fire Cure. That's a personal pet peeve of mine. I listen to a lot of shows on the way to work, and occasionally I hear the S dropped in there, and it just makes me twitch, you know? Just, it's a single estate. They don't own multiple estate. It's a single estate. Anyways, that KFC show with the IPAs, that was, I think I liked that because we went into it expecting it to be a complete disaster, and turned out to be one of the better shows.
Yeah, it's, God, what are my favorite show? I think that's almost impossible to say what my favorite show has been. I do like when we have a guest, but sometimes having a guest can make it a little bit more difficult, you know, because I want to make sure that, I mean, they're kind of donating their time, quote unquote, and they're giving us their time. So I don't want to have them just sitting there. So I'm trying to engage as much as I can.
I'm embarrassed because Bob Dog just mentioned Victor Vitale, and I can't believe I forgot Victor, who's been on the show multiple times. Tortuga Cigars, great guest, very entertaining, a lot of fun, great guy.
Yeah, he knows his stuff. He's a good dude. Actually, got to exchanging text messages with him the other day. I haven't spoken with Victor in a while.
Missed him at the IPCPR. It was very sad.
Yeah. He says things are going well, so that's good. But yeah, I don't know if I have a favorite show. I like the shows that kind of that come out of nowhere and really force us to kind of get out of our comfort zones. Maybe but I don't know what show that is. Like the IPA shows have been pretty good. I'll say that, and the Oktoberfest shows are always good.
Always good. So I'm gonna move on to our next pairing here because. I could pretty much drink this cocktail all night, which would be great for me, but bad for our audience. And this is kind of one that's kind of always sitting in my I was going to say humidor, but it's always sitting in my little bar fridge. This is a Prohibition Brewing Company, and it seemed appropriate for the show. It's the Smuggler Ale. It kind of got a little shifty dude. Looks like he's definitely doing something he shouldn't be. Now, it's kind of wintertime themed, but it's a Scotch Ale, which is not really wintertime themed at all. A little bit about Prohibition Brewing. They're located in an old distillery, of all things, just outside of Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada. What's cool is the symbol for their brewing company is a blind pig. Now, I'm going to throw you right under the bus here, Rob. Do you know why they would use a blind pig for their
Now, symbol? I believe, and I'll tell you where I got this information from before, but I believe during Prohibition, speakeasies were referred to as blind pigs.
Check out the big brain on Robbie.
Yeah, something to that effect. Now, here's how I know that, or where I learned that from, I should say. Hold on, I need to draft a kicker here. As exciting as that is.
You know, a kicker can make or break you if you have a bad kicker. I had a bad kicker last season. Boy, did that ever screw up my season.
We're going to go with Dan Bailey, I guess. Or Justin Tucker. I don't know.
Dude, Tucker has one of the best legs in the league.
Perfect. There, I drafted my kicker. I was listening to the audiobook of It by Stephen King. And there's one part where and now I can't even remember the character's name. The kid who stayed in the town. He was the only one who stayed in the town. His father was in the Navy, I guess, during Prohibition times, and he somehow came up in conversation. I thought, that's interesting. That's why Russian River calls her IPA Blind Pig. So that's how that stuck in my head. But yeah, I did know that.
I figured if anyone was going to know that, the guy who is big into cocktails, obviously my co-host on Sharing Our Pairings, so your knowledge does run deep. And that's exactly correct. So they kind of wanted to harken back to the yesteryear of, underground speakeasies, kind of more of a working man kind of theme, because blind pigs were really designed for the working man. They weren't designed for the rich guys. And that's kind of what their philosophy is. They want to bring craft beer to, what they call good, honest, hardworking people, not the elite, not the snobs, just kind of the everyday folk that want to enjoy a good beer. A little bit about this beer. It is a Scotch ale, as I said. So Scotch ales tend to be a little bit sweeter. You can see it's kind of that golden amber color, kind of approaching a brown ale, but not quite. It's 5.5%, which on this show is sessionable because, you know, we consistently drink 10 and 11% like it's nothing. The IBUs in this is disturbingly low. I don't even know. It's 8 IBUs. Very, very low.
They waved hops over it. They used a bittering hop. Just one.
Just the tip. And it's a limited edition release. Now, it's a limited edition bottle. I don't know if it's a limited edition release, but these are readily available, and I tend to pick these up on the occasion because I like a good Scotch ale. I feel like Scotch ale is one of those beer styles that isn't as popular as others, and I like a good Scotch ale. They can be a little bit too sweet. But I wanted to switch it up a little bit from the sort of big spicy of the Dark and Stormy and kind of ease my way into the bourbon. So what do you got going on for your second drink?
So I went a little bit intense, although I got my last two picks here coming up, and I'm going to take...
It's quarterback time.
I've already taken one. I took Roethlisberger. I'm going to take a flyer on Jimmy Graham at tight end because he used to be really, really good. And
if he doesn't screw you, if he stays healthy, he's good for a lot of points. He's consistent.
Yeah, I just took a flyer on them. Why not? And my backup quarterback is going to be Marcus Mariota.
I just feel like
he's a little bit of a sleeper. Marcus Mariota or Derek Carr, and I just can't really go with a Raider. So Marcus Mariota,
just on principle.
Yeah, basically. And there we go. We are done with the draft. Oh, God. I don't even really want to talk about 49ers football.
Pressure's off now.
Okay. So, yeah, I apologize. My focus was split. I had a split focus. You don't want that. So, let's see. The beer that I went with, and you've actually had this on the show before, John. And, man, I'm going to try to say it, but I've got no German background at all. It's the Echt. Is there a Ch in there? Schlecht.
It's German, it probably is.
How do you say it? Rauchbier?
Rauchbier.
Rauchbier. Okay. But we've had this on the show before, and I'm not even going to try to say it. So you guys have seen it. They've been around. It's a product of Germany. They've been around since, 1405. So that's a long time.
It's a long time.
And basically, it's a smoke beer, so it's got a really intense smoky flavor to it, or smoky smell. And it's funny, John was there when I cracked it open, I said, whoa, it's like Laphroaig made a beer, is really the way that I would describe it. So this is a big left turn, or right turn, however you want to say it, from where I was before. I went from sweet and fruity to now we're getting down and dirty in the smoke. It's 5%, 5.5%, 5.2%. There's really no mention of IBUs or anything like that with this particular beer. It's been around forever. Definitely on the darker side. I know it looks like it's almost black, but it's definitely kind of a deep, deep red. It's a Marzen-style ale, but it's a smoked Marzen, I guess, is the best way to put it. So given that we're creeping up on Oktoberfest, and I had this in the fridge, and I figured, what the hell, I'll give it a shot. And I'm hoping that maybe the sweetness of the cigar that we get off that wrapper is going to play with this just kind of a sweet and smoky type situation, but we'll see. I don't have very high expectations having cracked open the bottle though.
Yeah. I think if I'm not mistaken, and our audience can hopefully correct us, I think I cracked that out at our last Oktoberfest show when we had Terrence Riley on. I really, really liked that beer. I find the smokiness on the nose is a lot. I was going to say it's like a Laphroaig, but it's not because Laphroaig delivers in the body as well, but I find that the taste of it isn't quite as smoky. The smoke is a lot more nuanced on the palate versus the nose. I mean, you open it up and it smells like roasted barley. Like it smells like a glass full of fresh smoked barley, and it's very strong. But on the nose,
absolutely. And while you were saying that, I took a sip, and the smoke is much more subdued. It has kind of beef jerky kind of flavors to it. And I think somebody even commented in that. So it's more of a barbecue smoke than a peat smoke. It's actually really good. I'm surprised at how enjoyable it is.
I really enjoyed it, yeah.
It's a larger bottle. It's one pint, 9 fluid ounces. So that's, I don't know exactly how many ounces that is. Was that 18 ounces, something like that?
I think in Germany they just call that a beer.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's there's a lot of it in here. I don't know if I would want to drink the whole thing.
Yeah,
because it is it's a pronounced flavor, and it's not as smoky on the palate as it is on the nose, but it's unique, and it's one of those things. Like I had my wife and I celebrated our 6th wedding anniversary, and we went out to we went out to Point Reyes, and they've got a lot of oysters and things out there, and they have a meadery out there, and they make all these different kinds of mead. And the restaurant that we went to had one of them listed under their sparkling wines. And I was just going to order a glass of it. And the guy was like, the waiter was really cool. He says, you know what, I'll pour you a taste because it's very unique. And if you ordered that thinking you were getting a sparkling wine, you would not have been pleased because it was very different from a sparkling wine. It was really unique and I enjoyed it, but I would not want a full glass.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting. But anyway, I want to hear more, a little bit more about your pairing here and your one IBU.
So it's interesting as 8 IBUs because it does have a little bit of a sharp hoppy finish. Not pronounced. You get the sweetness on the Scotch ale. And this isn't a very sweet Scotch ale. I've had some Scotch ales that are almost sickeningly sweet, and I'm not a huge fan of that. I mean, really not a huge fan of anything where one flavor dominates the entire profile, whether that's a beer, whether that's a Scotch, whether that's a cigar. So you get that sweetness, and I think that the hop bitterness in there really serves to kind of cut that sweetness off, and it does. So instead of getting a super sweet finish, the bitterness cuts the sweetness off. It finishes with like a lot of body, some effervescence, some sort of weedy quality, and then that frees my palate up to enjoy the cigar. And I'm kind of about halfway through, and I think, you know, the cigar's really settled in. I get some rich spices off the retrohale, still getting some sweetness off the wrapper, although it's a little bit subdued against the Scotch ale. But one thing I would say about the CAO Conciliary is that it is very approachable. I think this is probably solidly medium-bodied, medium strength. But like I could sit back and I could pound this cigar and I'd be fine because, you know, none of the flavors are going to blow my palate out. They're not going to dominate. Like when I do a retro, it doesn't kill my nose. So in that way, it works very well. But the other flip side of that is the Scotch ale isn't really, you know, blowing my skirt up. It's good, but it's, you know, it's nothing different. It's nothing special. It's just good. It's like, if you have a Saturday afternoon and you feel like a cigar and a Scotch ale, there you go. It's going to work. It's not going to be, you know, a celebratory thing, but it works. I want to hear about how that Rauch beer is going because in fact, now that you've talked about it, I feel like I got to go back to my local beer store and get some more.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm digging it, man. When I first cracked it open, and we weren't exactly sure how we were going to pair this show. We knew we were going to do the Conciliary, and I figured we were going to do some bourbon. I was going to have some Hennessy, but I just don't like Hennessy. I figured cognac and pairing with this just made so much sense on a lot of different levels. And I really wanted to make that pairing, but I don't have any other cognac. The only cognac I have is Hennessy, and I just don't like it. And nice cognac is expensive,
yeah,
so it's not really in the budget. So I was looking through the beer fridge, and I thought, maybe a brown ale. And I've got an Imperial brown ale that's actually really, really good from that Beer Camp 12-pack that I picked up. And somehow I overlooked the brown ale. It got stuck in the back of the fridge. And I cracked one of those the other day, and I thought that might be a good pairing, but it's a little bit sweeter.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I went in this direction. I didn't want to go with a stout or something like that. I feel like it would be too heavy. And the more that we do this, it seems like stouts would be so easy, but I don't think stouts are that easy to pair with.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have that right cigar with that right spice. So I feel like this pairing is actually really good. And everybody in the chat room is talking about smoked jerky and bacon, and that's really the flavor profile you're getting here. There's a little bit of sweetness, like you would almost get from like a candied bacon.
Yeah.
That you know you get from that Marzen-y kind of flavor. It has a little bit of sweetness to it, that malty, little bit of sweetness. And it's bringing out a really nice spice from the Conciliary on the retrohale that you've been talking about, John. I haven't really get to it. I'm a little bit behind you. I'm about the midway point here. actually not quite to the midway point yet. And that spice is really coming alive, and I'm getting some more earthy character out of it. And it's just a little bit earth and spice goes really nice with the malty and smoky flavors that we're having here. It's a very manly, like, old school pairing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, get your Stein out.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to put this pairing down and go fight somebody or something. I don't know. But it's definitely got it's big, it's chewy, and I wouldn't want to go with this beer with anything that did not – with a cigar, that is, that did not have some spice to it. Yeah. Because that spice is starting to come out, and like I said, in the CAO, and that's really what's pulling everything together for me, is that spice. Too much sweetness, man, it's going to have kind of a funk to it. But that spice – really brings that kind of sweet, candied bacon, smoky, earthy maltiness together. It's I'm feeling it, man. I'm digging this a lot more than I thought I would. That's the biggest lesson we always learn on this show is everything. Sorry, didn't cut you off, but
yeah, no worries.
The pairing that you think is going to be the worst sometimes ends up being the best.
Just to remind you to our audience, you're tuned into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 82, Spotlight on the CAO Conciliary. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, with my co-host, Robbie Raz. Brought to you by Gurkha Cigars. Gurkha Cigars, maker of the world's finest cigars. Ask your local B&M about them today. Find the one that's right for you. They've got a lot of product.
I'm telling you, man, that Heritage Maduro, I smoked that during Cigar Chat last week. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It's a little bit pricier than I thought it would be, although the cigar I was smoking was 6.5 by 56, which is
that's a big cigar.
But in a smaller ring gauge, I think I would enjoy that a little bit more. It was kind of a nice cigar. But so we're going to jump into our third pairing here. I don't know if we mentioned this, the price point on these. Do we talk about price point?
I don't think we did. I know you've got the CAO coming up in a review shortly.
I do. It's on the list within the next few weeks, actually. We try to book everything out, but then sometimes things get pushed above other things and it happens. But it's on the list. And I'm actually, my next review, which was supposed to come out on Monday, happened to be my anniversary, so it's probably going to come out on Friday, is that La Aurora double barrel aged. And I'm very, very excited about that cigar.
Ditto.
I don't know if you've smoked it yet, but I'm very excited about it.
I've been holding off. I was kind of hoping to sneak in on the group review, but I don't think I'm going to have a chance.
Yeah, I can push it off till Monday if you want to get into that. But that is on the other end of the price spectrum. This conciliary looks like the MSRP on the associate, which is what we're smoking, because they stick with the same names, the associate, the boss, and the soldier, is $650. So
that's super reasonable.
Yeah, that's approachable. That just tells me that when the cigar is out, maybe a month from now, you're going to see a 5-pack for somewhere in like the $28 range, and that to me is kind of tough to beat. It's listed as kind of a medium to full cigar. I think that's probably a safe place to list it. It's not on the full end for me. To me, it's right smack dab in medium strength, medium body. But I can see some people saying, you know, it's a bit more on the fuller side. But again, I feel like it's the kind of cigar that just about anybody could smoke. I just wanted to touch on the price point because I was curious because I didn't really know what it was. I had to look it up. So we can move on to our next pairing. Although I'm kind of feeling this, how do I say it? Rauchbier. Well, I did pretty good there.
Yep. I'm always excited because I don't think I've actually done a bourbon pour on our show for probably 15 or 20 episodes, which I don't know how that happened. But I'm going with one of my favorites. And now that I know it's really tough to get, this bottle has been slowly slowing down. I mean, normally I would have crushed this, but the Elijah Craig Small Batch 12, the Unicorn, there's a number missing from Rob.
That's the difference. I mean, if you're listening, John and I have the same bottle. Mine's Small Batch, but yours is that 12 year, which I can't find it. It just doesn't
exist.
It's like with the Zaya. If you can find the old Zaya bottle with the script logo and it still says 12-year aged, and it's not the newer blend, then you've scored some gold. But yeah, I can't find that 12-year in my neck of the woods.
I mean, it's special. It's one of those special bourbons that I have in my house. Elijah Craig is part of the Heaven Hills Distillery Group, who I couldn't even we don't have enough time in the show to list all of the distilleries that are under that umbrella. It's a lot. We've talked about Elijah Craig in the past because it's one of my favorites. The price when I bought this bottle was, I think it was $35 or $38, which quite frankly is absurdly inexpensive. Like that's so low that I feel like I need to contact them and say, bro, you got to add $20 to that price. Cause it's too low. It's you're undervaluing your product, but regardless, I got it. And, you know, had I known it wasn't going to be it was going to be hard to find, I would have picked up a few bottles. But 47% alcohol, 94 proof. I don't really get proofs because I always deal in ABVs, but it's 94 proof. It is a small batch, which means that they barrel aged a small batch. It's not vatted on a large scale. It's produced on a very much smaller scale. And the nose on this, as always, has this wonderful orangey citrus and that rich, sweet bourbon quality that I've kind of grown accustomed to on some of the higher-end bourbons. So you don't get a lot of medicinal quality. You don't get that alcohol character. You just get a lot of rich bourbon character. And, I mean, this is I've gone with the actual Glencairn glass tonight to kind of enhance the nose a little bit. But I was kind of cheating before the show started. I wanted to get in a couple sips, just get my palate all acclimated, and then I figured when I got
to sure.
Yeah. You know, it's for science.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to take some sips here and let you talk about your last beverage.
So in my photo and everything that I posted up on the site, I said that I was going to go with the bullet rye. But apparently our bullet rye has been infused with vanilla bean. Didn't know that. The wife threw some vanilla beans in there. So so I had to make a last minute change to the lineup and kind of step my game up a little bit and went with the Willett straight rye whiskey, stuck with the rye. This is the Family Estate single barrel rye, 7 years. So this was a gift for my wife. So I asked permission before I snuck away with an ounce or two out of this. Because this is actually, it's pretty high end as far as my bar is concerned. This is going to run you about $125, $150 a bottle, depending on where you go. Sometimes you can see it for around $100. It is cask strength. It's 57.2% ABV. So that is 114.4 proof. When you talk about proof, John, you're just doubling the alcohol by volume.
I don't
know what the point is. Yeah. So you'll notice the ABV is 57.2. The proof is 114.4. So it's super easy math. That's not that common core stuff. Like that's just basic easy math. I don't even know what common core math is.
I don't know either. It's
I don't have kids, so I don't know. But I know it's like 7 + 4 equals yellow. I don't really know. But anyway, so Willett Distillery has been around for a while. I pulled up their website, which happens to be KentuckyBourbonWhiskey.com, and I clicked on the link that says Willett Story, and like, dude, this story goes back to like 1667 for the family name. And it looks like they, in 1936, they founded the Willett Distillery Company, and they are located, they're in Kentucky. They are on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. And there's a few different names under the umbrella of Willett that I was just looking at, and they kind of went away. Oh, yeah, Johnny Drum, which I've never heard of, Barnstown. There's Kentucky Vintage. Noah's Mill. I think we featured Noah's Mill on here before.
Yep.
Pure Kentucky, Rowan's Creek, and Willett, of course. And they do different things with pot stills and all kinds of different stuff. We're not going to get into all that. If you want to explore their website, it's KentuckyBourbonWhiskey.com. The estate bottled rye aged 7 years is what I'm dealing with. They do like a 5, a 6, a 7, a 10. There's a bunch of different ones. It's kind of interesting how they decide to go with. I don't know how they pick the years that they stick with. But I went with kind of a small pour here again. This is my wife's bottle, and you know, happy wife, happy life. But it's got a nice color to it.
Oh yeah, it's
kind of that darker caramel color to it. The nose is really sweet, and for a rye, I mean, for me with rye, it's that spice that sticks out. But this has got just a ton of vanilla on the nose for me. Full-bodied, barrel-strength whiskey. Rich vanilla, there you go. And sweet notes followed by chocolate and earthy, herbal, and pine element coming through on the back end. That's the overview. They've got some tasting notes. Vanilla, definitely on the nose for sure. Maple syrup, they say mint. Rich cologne, I don't smell that. But it's definitely sweeter on the nose. There's just a little bit of a story here that I'll read through while John's talking and see if there's anything that I want to pass on. But I've had this before, and it's we haven't really touched too much of this bottle. As you can see, it's pretty full. But as far as rye goes, this is one of my favorite ryes that I've had, right up there with the Angel's Envy rye. That for me is just on a totally different level, even though I think this will, it's a bit more expensive. But I'm curious to see how this is going to go, because I did kind of the sweet and fruity. I did the slightly sweet and smoky, and now we're going with a little bit of sweet and earthy and some spice. So I'm curious to see how this happens.
Now, what's interesting to me is, and you know I have very strong feelings about cask strength. I mean, a lot of the whiskeys that I have in my cabinet are cask strength. And the thing about cask strength is that, and this is really, it's an economical thing. If you bottle something straight out of the cask at a higher ABV or higher proof, you're losing money, because, you know, you look at that 57, and really I think it's for every three bottles of that they bottle, they could have gotten an extra bottle or a bottle and a half. And that's kind of how it works out. So,
oh, really?
Essentially, yes, because normally you would distill that, you'd add some, you know, fresh spring water or whatever, and you'd bring it down to 43 or 46, and that's how you bottle it. At 57, I mean, that's a monster for a bourbon or a rye. That's a heater. So there's no shame at all in adding water to that, because in a lot of ways, you know, you're kind of bringing it down. And frankly, for a lot of people, tasting anything above 53% ABV, it's tough on the palate. I mean, you can really blow your palate out. In fact, if you're drinking that at the start of the night, you probably don't want to drink anything else, because your palate's going to have a really tough time acclimating. But I feel that cask strength gives you all of the quality that beverage has to offer. And yeah, big fan. I am pretty happy that the Elijah Craig is as high proof as it is, because they could certainly have bottled that at 40 or 43%. But for me, the Elijah Craig is always kind of a no-brainer bourbon. It's not very spicy. Like if I want a spicy bourbon, I might reach for a Bullet or, you know, something else in my cabinet. The Elijah Craig is just a really, really approachable bourbon, and the 12 year is just so nuanced, so sweet. It's got the citrus quality, it's got some orange notes in there, it's of course got that sort of corny bourbon quality to it. But I find that what's nice about this being the 12 year is that, you know, it doesn't have any roughness, there's no harshness. Like if I drink some bourbon, and I don't know if I'd call it well bourbon, but if I drink sort of typical off the shelf bourbon, it's got a bit of a harsh, rough quality to it. This does not have that at all. And as such, it pairs really well with the cigar, because the beverage is there. It's got some nuance, but it doesn't overpower the cigar. So in that way, it does a great job of being a great spirit without running over the flavor nuances of this cigar. But I want to hear how that tasting experience is going with the Willet.
It's fantastic. It's really super sweet for me. Definitely sweet on the nose, but on the tongue, I get like a cotton candy kind of flavor. Wow. And it's just kind of, yeah, it's got that sugary note to it, but there's definitely, it's a heater and you feel it. There's that spice on the tongue, big time. And I didn't add any water to it, but I didn't go with a very big pour either. But I've had it both with water and without, just a couple of drops. And like I'm talking about getting an eyedropper out and doing a couple of drops. And it really does open it up and smooth things out a bit. The pairing for me is, it's a no-brainer. It's sweet up front. It's got that spicy finish. And the cigar is kind of the same way, right? It's got that little bit of sweetness on the tongue.
Yeah,
I'm getting a lot more of that spice. The sweetness is kind of fading in the cigar, actually, which I think is a good transition, because it started out and it was almost too sweet. And it's definitely transitioning more into an earthy and spicy situation with sweetness as an afterthought, which is kind of where I want this particular cigar to be. The pairing is, it's perfect. It's they mirror each other in the way that they kind of dance on the palate without getting too much hyperbole in there, but it's definitely nice with the rye. It's got that extra little spice to it. I don't really know how to describe that rye spice.
Yeah,
but
I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a better way to kind of put a word to it?
I don't. I mean, rye has kind of like a, it's like a peppery, it's like wheat, it's like a peppery wheat. Like, so you get that kind of body of a wheat character, but with like underlying pepper. It's not what I would call spice. It's pepper, but it's like a sweet pepper. And
yeah, it's almost. Yeah. To me, it's almost like a peppercorn.
Yeah.
Like it was like an uncrushed peppercorn where it's a little bit. And if you have a peppercorn, just toss it in your mouth, have it before you crack it open. It tastes different than regular black pepper.
Yeah.
It's almost a little bit sweeter. It's a little bit more rounded and not quite as harsh. So that's kind of the flavor that I get. But yeah, this is definitely heater, man. I would throw a little bit of water on that. No ice, just a little bit of water, and you'll enjoy it from there. But it's a great pairing. It's hard to beat. I feel like this particular cigar. And I think we've demonstrated that because we've been all over the map and all these pairings have been pretty good. This is pretty versatile as far as pairing goes.
Absolutely. So favorite pairing of the night as we come to the end of our Armed Forces Radio Network segment, what would you say is your standout pairing of the night tonight?
Oh, for me, it's the Rauch beer for sure. The smoked Marzen. It stunned me at how good the pairing was. And the cocktail was, well, it didn't really enhance the cigar. It just was kind of a nice palate cleanser in between. But I got to go with the Rauch beer for sure.
I think for me, the Dark and Stormy, believe it or not, kind of wins the night. It's got the sweetness from the rum. It's got the body of the rum with the nice, rich quality and the spices from the ginger beer. Second is definitely the Elijah Craig. I don't really think of this cigar as a beer pairing cigar. I think this is really a cigar that is good with spirits and good with cocktails. I think the problem with beer is that beer has maybe a little bit too much body for the cigar. The nice thing about spirits is that, you know, spirits tend to have one or two characters and they do a great job of supporting the cigar. But as you say, I think this is a really versatile cigar. I'm in the last third here and I'm getting a little bit of hay and a little bit of smoked earth. And it's a good transition because, like you said, it started out quite sweet and probably from that Brazilian Matafina wrapper. But yeah, good. I mean, super approachable for sure.
I think you're right when you start talking about pairing with spirits. I feel like every bottle of brown liquor I have in my cabinet would pair with this.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I think you're right about beer too. The difference with this particular beer is that smoky characteristic that you're not going to get in a lot of beers. So to me, that's why that pairing worked out so well. And there's a little bit of shock factor too, because I just didn't expect it to be that good. So maybe that's throwing me off, but I feel like I'd be curious to see what you had to say about this particular pairing with the Rauch beer. So maybe we'll have to revisit that at some point.
Definitely. We've got some samples. We're going to do some reviews and look for that in the next few weeks. Thanks very much, everyone on our Armed Forces Radio Network who are out there keeping us safe wherever you're stationed in the world, whether you're bored, whether you're seeing action. We appreciate you taking some time out of your day to listen to our show. We really do appreciate it. And as we say on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less. We back.
I'm switching back to the beer, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I mean, like I said, if you judge that beer off the nose is, it reminds me, like, I think when you said Lafroy, that's a good explanation, because when you open a Lafroy, you know it, like if that smoke fills the room. And I think if the body of the beer tasted like it nosed, that'd probably be a little too much on the palate.
Yeah, I would agree. It's funny. If and now that I'm smelling it now it just kind of smells like a Marzen, because it's got that little bit of tartness that a Marzen has in the nose from those from the malt. And I don't really get that smoky characteristic out of it at all, but there's smoke in the room, you know, whatever, my palate's jacked. But yeah, I was surprised. I think my wife would hate it, but I'm telling you, man, I'm going to have one of these in my fridge, I think, at all times.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's unique.
It's definitely fall too, and
yeah,
I know it was 94 degrees here today, but it's starting to feel like fall, and fall is far and away my favorite time of year. And
it'd be my favorite time of the year if the weather here would stay damn consistent. But as I
mentioned,
we're gonna. So just so people know how crazy it gets up here in Canada, we're gonna see a 30 degree freedom degree differential between today and tomorrow. So just as a heads up, of course, we've got Cigar Chat tomorrow with Manolo Quesada, which is going to be great cigar chat. And I think I'm going to be pinch hitting, as they say in the biz, for that show. And it's going to be something like 42, 43 degrees here.
You'll be inside.
No, you know, if I can smoke outside when it's minus 15, I feel like I can handle, you know, I gotta acclimate myself for fall winter pairing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Break out the long johns. So just real quick, since you guys had to sit through my fantasy draft, I'm going to run down my team.
Please do.
And let you know how it all ended up. This is a PPR league again, all standard scoring, but it's 1 point per reception. So I think I'm a little bit weak at quarterback with Ben Roethlisberger. If he stays healthy, fine. At running back, I went David Johnson, LeSean McCoy. I feel good with that. They both catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit. David Johnson, I think, is going to be a stud this year. Wide receivers, A.J. Green and Alshon Jeffrey. I feel like those guys are both elite as long as Jeffrey can stay healthy. Tight end, Greg Olsen. He's old, but dude's good, man.
Yeah,
he just keeps bringing in the passes. Yeah. And then in my flex position, I have Jarvis Landry, wide receiver from Miami. I went with the Seahawks defense and Justin Tucker, kicker. On the bench for running backs, I have Jeremy Langford, and I also have his backup of Jordan Howard. Those are the only two running backs I have on the bench, which might have been a mistake. I have John Brown, wide receiver, Marvin Jones, both guys I like this year. Alan Hearns, I felt like he was a safe pick at the time. And backup tight end in Jimmy Graham and backup quarterback in Marcus Mariota. But again, this is an 8-team league. So I feel like there's probably Calvin Johnson. I could have drafted him. Still available. He retired. So that's why he's still available. I still feel like there's some pretty decent – as far as quarterbacks, if Ben Roethlisberger sucks, I think I'll be just fine because there's like 25 quarterbacks still available. I mean, I could always pick up Blaine Gabbert.
You're not going to Sanchez?
Newly
signed to the Cowboys?
No. Although there is a player here who I probably should have drafted. Spencer Ware. He's going to be the starting running back in Kansas City, isn't he?
I don't know what Kansas is doing this year, but if he's a starting running back for Kansas, you should absolutely draft him because Kansas is big on running backs.
Well, they've got Chardandrick, whatever the hell his name is, West, and he's still hurt, and Jamaal Charles isn't going to be ready, so he might be a nice little sneaky play for Week One.
Yep,
but we'll see. Anyway, that was that. But.
Speaking of Week One, we are back in the swing of things. As we do every year, we have a little bit of fun with the NFL picks. This is the time where if you don't care about football, feel free to drop off, stop listening, skip on to the next podcast you listen to. But we're going to talk football because it's my show and we can do whatever the hell we want. If you want to participate, I'll be happy to read your picks and see how well or how poor you did at surgeon@cigarfederation.com. Get your picks in before the show next Wednesday. So Week One, starting off with a kind of a boom. I mean, good pick for a Thursday night game. Previous Super Bowl picks, the Super Bowl teams, Carolina Panthers travel to the Mile High Stadium to get high in Denver. Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern. I should just say it in Eastern because it's all in Eastern, which drives me crazy. But Carolina versus Denver. Now this is kind of an interesting game because it's, you know, Carolina kind of got beat up in the Super Bowl.
I'll take Carolina.
Yeah, so what's funny is a lot of people are taking Denver for this game because Denver's defense is almost certainly going to be top three defenses for the year, no question. I have Carolina for this game, and I put a point spread on it because I'm feeling kind of cocky in the first week till I get my ass handed to me. I've got Carolina by 6.5 points for this game. That's how crazy I am.
Wow, 6.5. I don't know what the spread is, and – frankly, I haven't looked at anything NFL until I was doing this draft. But, I don't know. I feel like you need to have a semblance of an offense. To have a semblance of an offense, you need a quarterback. Who is their quarterback?
I'm not even sure because they just it was a quarterback showdown in the preseason. Sanchez, it was kind of his title to give up, and he did, which is really embarrassing for him. You know, Sanchez, of course, was a previous quarterback of the Jets. Super good guy, but unfortunately just kind of got crushed by the terrible Jets management and hasn't really turned into much. So I can't remember who they're starting, but I mean, you know.
I can tell you if you want to know. Do you want to know?
Sure, yeah, go for it.
They're starting Trevor Siemian, I think is how you say it.
Yeah, and he had flashes of brilliance, but he also like had flashes of, hey, I'm going to fumble the ball and throw a couple picks. So I'm not actually sure how he won the starting, because people are talking about how Sanchez turned the ball over and threw picks, but he had more completions and the same number of picks. So it's like, okay, well, you know, defense might win championships, but you can't win games without an offense. So I don't know how that's going to work.
Maybe the thought process is, if you're stuck with a crap quarterback, you may as well get rid of Mark Sanchez and just not deal with it.
Might as well. There you go. So we're same pick for that. Moving on to the Sunday games, which feels weird to be talking about Sunday football again, but Tampa Bay goes to Atlanta to face off against the Falcons. Just on principle, I think I have to go with the home team here. I have to go with the Falcons, although I think Tampa Bay and Atlanta tends to play pretty tough football. And, you know, it's really always a toss-up in the first week to see sort of where the teams are at. But just on principle, I have to go Falcons.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that, too. For some reason, I always feel like the Falcons are going to be a lot better than they are. I don't know. I'm not invested in them, though, because I didn't pick Devontae Freeman.
Yeah. There you go.
So there's that.
There's that. So next up game, which I don't know how much of a good football game this is going to be. Buffalo Bills travel to Baltimore to face off against the Ravens. I just can't see the Ravens losing this football game. I mean, yeah, the Buffalo Bills, maybe they'll have a good defense, maybe, but, you know, they're just not going to be able to beat the Ravens.
No, I disagree. I'll take the Bills.
Wow.
They're going to move the ball.
Going with Sexy Rexy.
I think I'm invested in LeSean McCoy, right? So I'm just basing this on my fantasy team here.
All right.
So we're going with, and they've got, you know, they've got a decent quarterback, some decent wide receivers. Tyrod Taylor is still their quarterback, and they've got a couple decent receivers up there. So maybe, I don't know what their offensive line is like. I have no idea, but I'll go Buffalo there just to mix things up.
Just to mix things up. Okay, next up is the Chicago Bears going to Houston to face off against the Texans.
The turd bowl.
It's a turd bowl. The Texans are going to, I mean, the Bears are just, I don't know what's going on with your team. If you're a Chicago Bear fan, I apologize, because your team is terrible. I mean, your team just needs to be blown up and rebuilt. The Texans are going to beat the Bears, and no one's going to want to watch this game, even if you're a fan of both teams. So, yeah.
I have three Bears on my fantasy team.
Ouch.
Well, I've got Alshon Jeffrey, who, I mean, if you have to have one Bear, that's the one you want. And Langford, and then I've got his backup, Jordan Howard. Yeah. Who's the home team?
Home team is the Texans.
Oh, God, the Texans. I'll take the Bears. I'll take the Bears.
Wow.
The Bears.
The Bears. Green Bay on the road. Green Bay is on the road against Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, just on principle, I have to take Green Bay. It's an easy pick.
Yeah, we're moving on after that.
The teams that always play good football, the Chargers versus the Kansas City Chiefs, and this will be a really interesting game because I feel like the teams are built very similarly. Kansas City being the home team, I feel like I got to go with the Chiefs, but I feel like this is going to be a really fun game to watch because it's going to be kind of that smash-mouth football, grind it out. I'm going to go with the Chiefs because of the home team.
Yeah, I would say if this game was in Kansas City, it is in Kansas City, is that what you just said, right?
It is, yeah.
Chiefs. Yeah, I'd take the Chiefs. You got to win, for me, when you've got teams that are kind of similar, I mean, Alex Smith isn't a great quarterback, but he manages the game well. He's not going to make any mistakes.
Yep.
I mean, if they're down to their third string running back, like we were talking about a second ago, that might not be the best thing. But I don't know. I feel like the Chiefs at home, that just seems like that would be tough. the Chargers come in and win that game.
Tough matchup for the Raiders going into week one, facing off against the New Orleans Saints. That'll be kind of an interesting game to watch from the perspective of, you know, if Oakland wants to do anything, they need to really make a good showing of this game. Unfortunately, I think the Saints are going to beat them. And really the over-under, again, on a game like this is the number of stabbings that's going to occur in the parking lot after the game. I put the over-under on 2 for stabbings. I'm going to go with the Saints as the home team.
So it's in New Orleans, huh?
It's in New Orleans.
I think the Raiders are on the verge of becoming a good football team. They've got some standout players on defense, and their defensive unit as a whole has been getting better. They've got a nice quarterback in, what the hell is his name? Carr. And they've got a decent running back, and they've got a couple of nice receivers. Got the possession receiver with Crabtree, and then Amari Cooper's kind of your big play guy. I don't know. I think the Raiders could take that game because the Saints, they've just been so mediocre for the last few years. I don't know. I'll take the Raiders on that.
Bob Dog is going for the over on stabbings. He's going with 3 stabbings for that game.
Jeez. I hope not. I hope nobody gets stabbed.
Yeah, I hope not. But
I'm anti-stabbing.
I'm definitely anti-stab, but it's going to happen. My team, the Jets, face off against one of their tough teams that they play against, the Bengals, against the Red Rifle, against Dalton, who has flashes of brilliance. Dalton is great when he's great, and this is a tough game, week one, against the Jets, who in preseason football just. Let me just say their defensive line is probably one of the top defensive lines in the league right now. They might even be number one. If you watch the Giants game, it was embarrassing. It was like the defensive line of the Giants or the defensive line of the Jets were playing college football against the Giants because, I mean, it was embarrassing. They were breaking through their offensive line like it was nothing. They're crushing them. So from a defense perspective, the Jets are going to tear it up. But you need to score points. And in the turnover game, the Jets have been doing terribly. So I'm going to pick against my team, which, you know, I don't know what that means. But I'm going with the Bengals.
Is it in Cincinnati?
No, it's in stadiums.
Huh?
I don't even know what my stadium's called.
MetLife?
MetLife? What a terrible
Is it the MetLife stadium? I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, I feel like the Bengals are that team that should be good every year. I know they've got some injuries. Tyler Eifert's out, I think, and a couple other things. But their defense is pretty decent. They still got Fitzmagic going on in New York. I know he was taking forever to sign.
Still got Fitzmagic. You shaved the beard though, so I don't know if that.
Oh no, that's it. Beard is gone. Decision made. I'm going with the Bengals. You got to keep the beard, bro. Got to keep the beard.
All right. Next up, the Browns, who I think the over-under on them is the number of games they're going to win this season, which I think is like 2.5. face off against Philadelphia, and you want to talk about stabbings. Then face off against the Eagles. I think this is a no-brainer Eagles pick.
Absolutely.
Moving right along. Minnesota Vikings versus the Tennessee Titans. Now, this is kind of an interesting matchup. I don't really care about either of these teams, but I feel like... both of these teams could have a good season if they can get their act together. Bridgewater against Mariota. It's a really tough game to call because, you know, both teams have a lot of talent. They just don't seem to be able to bring it together. This would kind of be under my cusp of too close to call. But I'm going to have to go with my gut. My gut says Vikings.
Well, the problem, and I don't want to throw you under the bus, but Teddy Bridgewater is out for the season.
Oh, he got knocked out with the
tore his ACL and dislocated his knee and has other structural damage.
Right.
And they put him on injured reserve, so he's done for the year. So they're rolling out your boy. Oh crap! Hold on, I'll find it here in a minute.
I don't know how these all become my boys. I thought I only had one boy.
No, they're rolling out with your boy Sean Hill, former 49er,
and that
former
be your boy.
You know, he got nothing to do with me.
Okay.
So he's the signal caller there, and it's to me it just seems like it's going to be AP all day long. And it's funny, man. I was looking at I almost drafted Stephon Diggs, and I'm glad I didn't. I wasn't in a position to draft Peterson. But, yeah, I don't want anything to do with their offense when they're rolling out Sean Hill. So I'm going to take the Titans, right?
Titans, yeah.
Tennessee. Yeah, I'll take Tennessee.
All right. So sorry for all the Dolphins fans out there. Your team is traveling to the Seattle to face off against the Seahawks. Ouch.
Moving on.
Yeah, Seahawks. It's going to be like a 10. It's going to be like a 10-point spread on this game. It's going to be ugly.
Seriously. And they're in Seattle. Forget about it.
In Seattle.
Forget about it. But that's one of those games that could turn out where you look at the score on the bottom of the screen and you say, "Man, that's why you don't bet on sports."
Yeah.
Because Miami could win by 10.
Bob Dogg's going with Dolphins because he's insane. Giants, who looked terrible in preseason, just awful. Face off against the Cowboys, who unfortunately lost to Romo. Romo decided to just get the injury, and this is not making light of the injury, but Romo seems to always get an injury, and he normally does it halfway through the season when they're kind of doing okay and people have hope. He just decided to get out of the way preseason, and he might be done for half the year. I don't know whether they're going to start Sanchez or Dak. But given that the Giants look like garbage and the Cowboys are at home, I got to go Cowboys. I got to go with my gut here. I think Cowboys are going to take this. It's a divisional game. It's a tough matchup for week one.
Yeah, it's tough to call. If they're rolling out Dak Prescott as, you know, a freshman, rookie, whatever the hell you want to call him, making the start, that's a tough, tough road for him. It's at home. It's against the Giants, and the Giants are kind of garbage. But they've got a quarterback who at least has played a couple of downs. But then again, you could say, well, you know what? Maybe he doesn't know any better and he can just win, you know, whatever. You just roll out and win. It's tough. This is a coin flip game. And normally I would take the home team. And I think I'm probably just going to do that again. I'll just stick with the Cowboys. I think they've – no, you know what? I'll take the Giants. I can't do it. I can't take the Cowboys. I'll take the Giants.
What could be another garbage football game of the season here, Detroit Lions travel to Indianapolis to face off against the Colts. And, boy, Andrew Luck did not look good in the preseason. Colts did not look good. It was a bad, bad time. I don't like the Lions, but I got to go with the Lions in this. I feel like, you know, Lions are going to take this.
Yeah, man, the Colts. Like, what happened to Andrew Luck? Like, he was like the next big thing. You could say what happened to Colin Kaepernick.
He's supposed to be the next Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I was just like, dude, you've got a neck beard and you're horrible. I love Frank Gore, but they kind of need to up. I don't know. That's a tough, tough game. It's at home. I mean, it's in a dome. Detroit is running a different style offense. And actually, now that I think about it, I should have drafted Theo Riddick because he catches a ton of passes out of their backfield. I think somebody else drafted him. But, yeah, I feel like the Lions have enough weapons to – I mean, Stafford can heave the ball, Golden Tate. Marvin Jones, who's actually on my team, is a nice secondary receiver with maybe some skills to step up and be the number one guy. It feels like it would be a shootout. And if it's a shootout, then I got to go with the Lions.
Okay. Since Tom Brady has been suspended for the first four games, this will be an interesting test for the New England Patriots traveling to Arizona. The Cardinals last year had huge hopes. I think they were your pick or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if there's ever a chance for the Patriots to lose a football game, this is it in week one. New England, and I know them fairly well because, you know, I have to watch their football because they face off against my Jets all the time. This is the kind of game they lose, especially early in the season. Facing off against the Cardinals at home, I think the Cardinals are going to beat them. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, but I think the Cardinals are going to win this one.
The Cardinals are a really good football team. And they have been for a couple of years.
Someone should tell them that, though, because they don't seem to pick up.
They have a hard time putting it all together. Although they had one of the best records in football last year, if memory serves. Yeah, I'm looking here, and they're not even sure if Gronkowski's going to play. Yeah. If you've got no Brady, no Gronkowski, it's I think the Cardinals are going to win, and I don't even think it's even going to be that close.
Speaking of not even close, the Monday night game, which is an interesting pick for a Monday night game, the Steelers go to Washington to face off against the Redskins. Week one football, man. You can't face off against the Steelers in week one football. Roethlisberger is just going to lay a pounding on the Washington Redskins. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the Steelers are tough to beat for like the first 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then somebody's hurt or arrested and, you know, downhill. I know that the Steelers don't have their running back, whose name is escaping me, because he was smoking the reefer or something. And so he's out for 4 games. But it's well, you got Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. That's it. All day, every day, I'll take the Steelers. And the really bad Monday night game, like what the hell were they thinking, is the next one.
So, man, I don't know what to make of this game. So the newly
– I do,
coined,
I do.
Yeah, you do. The newly coined L.A. Rams go to San Francisco. Fortunately, you don't have to be at the stadium for a game like this. San Francisco 49ers with your boy Gabbert. I don't know what to make of this game, Rob.
there's better games on Saturday. The Niners are tough, man. They're gonna be tough to figure out all year because they're gonna be bad, but they're gonna show signs of being really good. If they can control the pace, they could win games, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, if they could run the ball and control the pace and just do a possession-type offense, short passes, old-school West Coast offense,
yeah?
Short passes, little slants, things like that, which they keep telling me is what Blaine Gabbert is supposed to be able to do, then they could run the ball. Their offensive line is better than I think most people think. They could be decent, but I just feel like the Rams – I don't even know who the Rams quarterback is.
I think it's Nick Foles, but, you know, so many injuries in the preseason.
I don't think it is. Let me see here.
I can't even track this stuff because there's been so many roster changes before the season.
No, it's Case Keenum is their quarterback. That's why we didn't know who it was. Because who the hell is – yeah, Case Keenum. Well, they drafted Jared Goff with their top pick, get out of Cal. He's, you know, supposedly the next big thing. He's not going to play. Case Keenum is their guy, and he's just kind of – he's a lame duck quarterback. But they can hand the ball off to Todd Gurley all day, every day. That guy is a beast.
I mean, Todd – so I feel like this game is going to be all about ball management, giggity. So I feel like really it comes down to if the 49ers off the defensive line can stop the rush – then, like you say, they can control the pace of the game. They can probably grind this game out. But if they can't stop Gurley, then it's done. Like, Gurley's just going to run all day long. And he's going to bust out 50-yard, 60-yard runs. Like, it's just going to – like, they're going to need oxygen at the sidelines because he's going to be so tired from running the ball. I'm going to go with the Rams on this one.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to take the Rams. It's got 17-12 written all over it.
Yeah.
Or maybe even 17-15. Like, just a boring-ass football game for Monday night.
Yeah.
Nice
terrible,
job, NFL.
Terrible choice for Monday night football.
Terrible. It's terrible.
So if you want to participate in our Sharing Our Pairings weekly pick, feel free to email your picks to surgeon@cigarfederation.com. I'll do my best to compile them before the show and mention online how you did or how poorly you did and maybe make a little fun of you. So if you're okay with that, email me, surgeon@cigarfederation.com. We'll talk about that. We've got some good you booked some good guests coming up here in the coming weeks. We've got, as we said, Manolo Quesada coming up tomorrow night. That'll be good. Guy is a monster in the tobacco industry. My boy, your boy, Eric Espinosa next week. That's going to be an entertaining show. No one even needs to show up. You can just give him a mic, let him go.
I was going to say, you may be rolling a backup QB on that one too because I'm at the ballpark. And I scheduled Eric specifically because if Logan has to do the show by himself, I don't know if there's a better person to have as the guest except for Eric. So, there's plenty of stuff to talk about. He's very entertaining. And we haven't had him on for like a year and a half.
Yeah, it's been way too long. And then John Huber I mean, these are some monster guests right out of the gate for from IPCPR. John Huber's going to be coming up on September 20th. So that'll be, these are the back-to-back cigar chat shows you have to watch. These are going to be great shows. I don't know what we have scheduled for Sharing Our Pairings next week because I haven't really figured it out yet. I've been really busy with work, opening stores. But we'll be back next week with another Sharing Our Pairings. Sorry about the short pours. Kind of wanted to keep it loose for the, it's kind of our alternate format when Robbie and I are busy or life just doesn't permit an hour and a half show to talk the shit and drink heavily. We got to do a short pour, which, you know, the audience reception of short pours has been good. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think the short pours are, it's, it helps. I mean, it fits our schedule sometimes a little bit better, but, and we can pre-record them, which is nice, but, I think it gives us a chance to maybe focus on the cigar a little bit more and focus on whatever it is we're drinking a little more, so we can give it a little bit of extra attention. So I think there's benefits all the way around for those short pour shows. I mean, it's easier occasionally for John and I, especially when we get into the fall season for me with baseball and work and everything gets really, really busy for me this time of year. So it does help. But I think that sometimes we can get in a half hour, we can maybe do a little bit more of an informative show. So
you're going to see more of those as the year goes on. Maybe if it gets particularly cold up here and my beer is freezing, you might see a short pour here and again. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. If you like our show, go to YouTube, give us an up thumbs, up arrow. We do read your comments, so appreciate your comments to the show. If you want to send us an email, if you have feedback, positive or negative, you can send it to rob@cigarfederation.com. You can send it to surgeon@cigarfederation.com. We love doing a mailbag segment, so feel free to send in your comments. We always appreciate it. And as we always say on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less.